Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
And so today I've titled my message, Legit or Counterfeit? So we're going to turn to Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 20. It's one of the most random stories, but one of my favorite ones, and a bit of reading today. How good is it to read the Word of God? You can never get enough. But if you don't have your Bible with me, you can follow behind me. It says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannosaurus Rex. Judah said that one to me the other day. Can't take credit for that joke. And this continued for 2 years so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, amen. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burnt them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. What an interesting story. It would have been interesting to see that all play out. You know, and when I read this story and I think about the question of a legit move of God and a counterfeit move of God, the first thing that stands out to me from this scripture is that a legit move of God, a legit move of the Holy Spirit requires being led. Yeah. Yeah. See, notice that Paul passed through. You can't share where you don't go. You can't reach your sphere of influence where God, your metron, where God has placed you, your community, your workplace, your family, if you remain stagnant and wait for people to come to you. Yeah. Paul found the disciples, which meant that he was actually looking for someone. See, the counterfeit move of God expects people to come to us. It's about my preaching. It's about my ministry. It's about what me, what I can do. But a legit move is, okay, Holy Spirit, where are you going? Who are you highlighting me to? Not just the popular people. Who are you highlighting me to, God? Yeah, that's good. So a question we need to ask ourselves is, are we looking for opportunities to share, or are we waiting for people to come and admire and stare? Yeah, see, if the Holy Spirit's revival is a river, as we heard Jane beautifully pray before, then it must flow through us. Otherwise, it becomes a swamp. And when you think about rivers along the banks, they don't discriminate who gets that water. When you see a river flow, it doesn't matter, but if the roots are deep on the banks of the river, there is fruit, there is life. It nourishes all in its path, whereas swamps become stale, disease-riddled, lifeless water that becomes bitter and tasteless, offering little nourishment to those that are desperate. it would break my heart if we had someone in the street or someone that in our sphere of influence taste bitter water and make assumptions about God and his church based on what is the condition of our hearts. And so here we find, Paul finds his disciples and he asks them about the Holy Spirit. And they had never heard of the Holy Spirit. See, we can never assume just because someone says they know God or know of God that they actually know God. And a funny story about this took place when I used to be a youth worker, and I was working in a place where we were responding to a young person that tragically had been killed by another young person. And we had set up this almost like an outpost to be there to provide support as part of our local council. And back then, you know, we'd have our uniforms. I had my council's logo on my jumper and my hat, thinking I looked cool. Over to the side a little bit. Nah, it wasn't cool at all. But I remember walking into a cafe. We were exhausted. That week we were there for 13 hours a day, 7 days for the whole week. We were done, like emotionally drained. And I remember this lady just looks at me and no word of a lie. She looks at me like up and down. What do you do? And I'm like, it says youth services, but all right. I'm a youth worker. I thought as much. What are you guys doing here? And I explain, hey, like, it's a lot of people that are hurting in this community right now. We're trying to offer up a little bit of hope. And she goes, I was talking to my pastor about that today. So I thought, common ground, brilliant. I go, you're a believer too. Come on, I'm a believer too. And you know, it's just amazing how many people need Jesus. And she goes, I've told my pastor that ever since, and I won't mention the ethnic group, but ever since this ethnic group moved here, it's like letting the lions amongst the cats. And I was like, and I look at her, I go, but the three young people involved were actually Anglo people from the community. It had nothing to do with another ethnic group. Oh no, but ever since they've come, it's all trouble. And that broke my heart, because rather than seeing that there's a need for Jesus in my community, we start segregating from the church, thinking who is more important than the others. And that starts in churches. See, that moment there, almost 10 years ago to the day, taught me that me walking into a church doesn't make me more of a Christian than me going into my gym this morning makes me a bodybuilder. Yeah, I need to pick up the weight. Yeah. I need to pick up the weight. Yeah, I need to pick up the Word of God. I need to read the Word of God. I need to pray to God. Yeah. Not think that somehow because I go to a church, I'm better than and know what God wants to do and who does and doesn't deserve God. See, when we think of a legit revival, a move of the Holy Spirit, we see that it focuses on the well that doesn't run dry. It's what Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. If you drink from this water, you will never thirst again. Whereas the counterfeit one becomes stale swamp, that it's all about what I know, it's all about where I've been, and what I say is what goes because I know better. And then we wonder why our churches are emptier each year. See, Paul could have stopped at simply asking if they had received the Holy Spirit, and he could have directed them to the local church. See, the move of God now had been in full swing and God was moving, but instead he went deeper in his teaching, which leads to my next point, that a legit move of the Holy Spirit requires both explanation and demonstration. See, Paul explained and he taught to them. When they told him that they'd received the baptism of John, he didn't discredit the baptism of John. He didn't get into the specifics of the theology of the denomination of where John was from. No, he explained the importance of what the baptism of John was, because he baptized a baptism of repentance. He didn't get bogged down into the theology of it. He just preached the gospel in its fullness, that John pointed to the baptism of Jesus. And so then they responded in that altar call, in that moment, in that walk, in that space, in that place of time. But he didn't just stop there. He went a step further and imparted the Holy Spirit through the laying of hands. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, the word of the Lord says, that they spoke in tongues and prophesied. What a beautiful response in that place, in that moment. And yet somehow, one of the most divisive topics in the church in this day and age is this whole topic of tongues and prophecy. How, why, how have we complicated what God meant to be simply beautiful? For me, I was even in that coming into this church. I grew up in a Baptist church, in a Baptist background, and I was afraid of tongues and prophecy because I thought it wasn't from God. But then I read, and the more that I read the Word of God and I see it and I've experienced it for myself, it's not to condemn, but to be edified in Him and to edify His church. Let's not complicate what God meant to be beautiful. In fact, later in the year, we're going to speak into those topics. You know, I really believe it's time for us as a location to go into what the Word of God says, not what the influencer on TikTok, on YouTube says. And if you're an influencer on TikTok or YouTube or whatever it is that young people look at, may the Lord blesseth you. See, a step of faithful obedience led to the revival of 12 men. The counterfeit focuses on an outcome. If I pray like this and I do like that, because it worked last time, it's going to work today. Whereas a legit move of God focuses on the person of the Holy Spirit. What are you doing, Lord? You know, I had a conversation with someone the other day when our worship went a little bit over. By a little bit, it went like an hour and 15 minutes. So almost 50 minutes over. And he was really touched by that. And I showed him that the service flow that we prepare for, and some of our team here that we've got from City can attest to this, when you prepare the service flow, there's an indication of what time is. But what God wants to do and what we plan for are two different things. God's will trumps what we want to do. Yep. Sometimes it will go short. Last week is the shortest service that we've had in a while. And some of you are thinking, I wish I came last week instead of today. Hallelujah. God bless you. But each week we just go with where the Lord wants to lead. He does all the work. And then He chooses to do it through us, not in spite of us. He is a river. The Holy Spirit is a river, not a dam. So if it flows in us, it's meant to flow through us, not stop at us. Because a dam contains and distributes accordingly, but a river flows and doesn't stop flowing. So my question to you today, church, is have you received the Holy Spirit? And if you have, what is stopping you from sharing it with others? Like I mentioned, 12 people were transformed simply because Paul asked a question and took the time to explain and took the time to lay hands and pray. One thing that we learn from that is that the beautiful thing about revival is that there is no pressure on us to perform. It's not about performance. It's just about submission to the will of God. What are you doing, God? It's the will of God in our lives and then the stepping out of faith. We often want to be the next, you know, preacher and yet God's like, talk to your person at your local grocery store or even closer to home. Talk to that brother of yours or sister of yours or partner of yours or whoever it may be. Start there. There is equally as important. My Bible tells me that Jesus leaves the 99 for the one. He doesn't say, oh, well, bad luck, number one, too bad, so sad, you're going to perish. Let's go 99. So whatever your sphere of influence is, don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on what God has entrusted you today. Is this helping anybody this morning? See, our genuine pursuit of God leads to my next point, which is that a legit revival and move of God inspires a boldness to go and preach with unique signs and wonders following. See, the Word tells us here that having witnessed God move, so being in this moment, seeing the Holy Spirit moving these 12 guys, and now filled with that boldness, Paul carried on. I mentioned this verse at the top, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Testimony leads to faith rising up, and the boldness is a byproduct of what God can do. The power of the Holy Spirit is real and it inspires us. You know, for me, and some of you are new, so you're going to hear this for the first time, but I'm a broken record. And again, apologies to our West fan, but I look at this incredible man in the back row, Vince. You know, for those that are new, I'll tell the story again and we'll proclaim because what God did in his life rises up faith. In 2021, October, he was given 4 months to live. Incurable cancer all over his body. And a few of us didn't follow a formula. We just prayed to God, man. Like, Lord, we believe it. If it's on the menu, your word says that where we preach, signs will accompany. So Lord, we've seen you do it before. I know that you can do it again. And it wasn't just the pastor and the key team, but it was the church partnering in prayer. And then in March of 2022 last year, a month after he should have been in heaven, Vince comes and he shows me a photo. And I'm like, what is this? And it's a cancer all over his body from October 2021. Then he shows me a new photo and all the cancer is gone. Come on, to God be the glory. So what do you think that does for someone when they preach that, man? Like when they see that. I get invited, I go to Bangkok and I've shared these stories, so I'm not gonna go into detail. But the faith rose up that I've seen you do it here, God, you can do it there. We saw a boy healed of epilepsy. We saw a man on death, literally on his life support, come back to life. We saw closed wounds open, not because of a person, but because of the Holy Spirit. So when you see God move, it rises up faith that I'm not scared anymore, God. I will go after it. And so Paul, here he goes and he preached for 3 months. Firstly, he stopped at the synagogue and preached to the religious. Sometimes the spirit of religiosity, it's those people that are the hardest to preach to, but here he was. And often we can go and share the gospel once and get rejected. Like, okay, I'm done. But one and done ministering is not always the case. Paul was there for 3 months, probably because of his personality, but also as well, he was there, right? It's when the Holy Spirit says it's time to move on, we move on. So rather than start a Twitter war, rather than start talking about how my theology is better than yours, rather than start saying, well, this word says this and this word says that, Paul's like, you know what? Their hearts are hardened. I'm just going to carry on. Sometimes agreeing to disagree is the best thing that you can do. Jesus says in Matthew 10:14, and whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. See, only the Holy Spirit can convict, but it's up to us to share. So our hearts harden to sharing God and Holy Spirit. See, first we must receive so that we can also impart. And so Paul carries on for 2 years in Asia so that no one would miss out. And as a result of that, unusual signs and wonders occurred. Like people touching his handkerchief, people touching his apron. God is not one-dimensional. God does some very unique things. If we haven't read it and we haven't encountered it, but you can read, definitely read it in his word. There are some very, you know, you could spend watching Netflix and watching some of the random stuff that's on there, but it ain't got nothing on the Bible. There are just some random things, like I'm going on a tangent, but thinking of Elijah going and chucking his cloak and running off and saying, what do you want with me? It's like random stuff. Okay, we're not gonna go to Ezekiel or Hosea or things like that. Read them in your own time, you'll see what I mean. But notice that the signs accompanied the preaching. He didn't lead in chapter 19, signs and wonders. He preached the word of God and God moved. See, Mark 16:15-18 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Notice it's present tense, not past tense. These signs will accompany, not have, may accompany or had accompanied. And there are two crucial words in that. One, the present tense, but then two, accompany. The word of God and someone's salvation is the most important thing that we can bring. The Lord will do the rest, right? So we hear about a man named Arthur Blessett. Has anyone ever heard of Arthur Blessett? Couple of people, come on. So we need the photos. I think we lost our, Levi's running over there, but I'll introduce my friend Arthur Blessett. He was a man who was impacted by Jesus in the 60s, in the hippies era, and clearly I'm not part of the hippie era. I wish I had the hair for it, but you know. But in the 60s, he was a pastor, and upon literally hearing the words of Jesus tell him to walk every nation, he literally picked up a cross and walked the nations. I don't know if the photos are going to come up. So he started off on December the 25th. That's a pretty good day to start it. You know, December the 25th, 1969, he began the journey walking from Los Angeles to Washington carrying a cross. And by June the 13th, almost, 15 years to the day, in 2008, he literally walked the world. He walked his 38,102nd mile, try saying that 10 times, in Zanzibar, with the goal of reaching every country and island in the world. Did we get the photos up? No, they're still looking for them. Okay, well, hopefully we'll pop up. because this is going to be seen to be believed, right? So he's walking through Israel, right? He's walking with his cross, and he gets to the bank where the war's taking place and literally crosses over. And these guys, like, they're in war, Israel and Palestine. There we go. And he comes across this man who many of us would know is Yasser Arafat. They didn't kill him. They actually invited him to come, and he prayed for the leader of Palestine in the middle of a war between two nations. And there's more photos of him. That's him in Poland. We've got some Polish family in here walking with the cross in Poland. Then we've got another one of him walking with that cross in Afghanistan. And as he walked through Africa, he gets to Libya. And again, rather than kill him, this is the favor of God. He's just walking with a cross, you know. And so people are looking at this random Anglo man walking past with a cross. And so it would draw intrigue, right? So in Libya, he then prays for al-Gaddafi in Libya. Then he goes to our part of the world, Latin America, and I don't have photos, so he's just those three photos, but the story's told that he's walking through to Panama to get into South America, but on the way goes in Nicaragua. And that night, he mentions that when you watch his documentary, was the night where he feared, I think this is where it's going to end, because there were local tribespeople that came to kill him. But then all of a sudden, the screams of, I'm going to get you, turned to screams of terror, and they disappeared and they left. And so the day after, when he asked what happened, like, to a local, he said that the word had gone out that when they got to the caravan, there was literally an army around the caravan. And so they were outnumbered and they were scared, and so they fled. Wow. See, it wasn't an extraordinarily anointed man. He was just a man who obeyed and literally went, picked up his cross and walked. And throughout that, he encountered things and encourage you guys to watch his documentaries. The name definitely suits what he did, bless it. But you hear his stories and how he tells these stories of he just literally had conversations with people where the stereotypes are, we don't talk to those people. He just went and people go, what on earth are you doing, man? Hey, Jesus loves you. God did the signs and wonders. He just loved those who he met. So can you imagine when you're on the train and that person's fidgeting next to you? What a simple, hey, hope you have a good day does. Can you imagine? Oh man, that person hasn't reached out to me in a long time. What a simple message, hey, thinking of you, what can I pray for you for, man? Can you imagine in your own household, the acknowledgement of your own child one day, just simply saying, hey, I see you and I love you, what that can do? I don't know about you, but some of the most impactful moments in my life haven't actually come from a pulpit. They've come from a person that's just checked in on me at a time where I needed it the most. See, a danger that can occur when we become outcome focused in the counterfeit side of things and focus on an outcome, and we become afraid to impart, what we do is that we limit the Holy Spirit to a formula and then determine who deserves his power and his love. It is here where many will have bad experiences with church, because when we box God into a formula, we box him into something God was never intended to be. And so a difference between counterfeit moves of the Holy Spirit and a legit move of the Holy Spirit is that a legit revival is because of he, whereas counterfeit revival is all about me. Let me say that again. A legit revival is all because of he. A counterfeit revival is all about me. So we see here that people in verse 13, people sought to capitalize. Whew, I see a business opportunity right here. In fact, the word says that they took it upon themselves to cast out demons in Jesus' name. You know what's funny? Someone asked, well, the seven sons of Sceva happened, but surely they would have known that that wouldn't have worked. But Jesus himself says that it's actually possible to prophesy and cast out demons in his name and not know him. Don't believe me, Matthew 7, 21, 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, counterfeit revival is nomadic. It lacks a spirit of sonship and accountability. That when someone is challenged, okay, I'm gonna go to the next place until I'm challenged, and I'm gonna go to the next place. Where there is no sonship or accountability, that is counterfeit moves of God. It will work for a period of time, but it will cause destruction and hurt to people. which is why so many people are hurt from church. I was one of them. I tell you, standing here is definitely God's sense of humor, but more importantly, God's grace. I was hurt in church, like many of us have been. And so for me, like it's important to understand that for me, my focus is on what God is speaking and what God is doing, not what others did to me. Because otherwise, if I hold on to what someone did to me yesterday, I will take it out on you today. And that's not God's intention for me or for you. Yeah. And so here we find, you know, many of these, you know, demons, you know, they'd hear Jesus, so they'd freak out. But every once in a while, there's a sassy demon. And here we find it. The seven sons of Sceva just happened to come across this sassy demon, right? Because he's like, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? See, demons flee because of authority. No authority means no power. It's like me going into, you know, there's like a United Nations summit and I walk in. I haileth from Australia and I'm here to represent Australia. I'll end up in prison in 10 seconds. Now, it's true, I'm from Australia. I've got my passport to prove it, my citizenship certificate to approve it, but I have no delegated authority to be in that place and time. So I could say whatever I want, I'll get locked up. And yet many of us go and call on Jesus' name, have not received the Holy Spirit, therefore operating under no authority from Jesus. We jump on and I'm going there, and it's family, I can talk to family. We jump on our social media to criticize that preacher down the street, but we haven't had a revelation for ourselves. It got to a point before I was a believer, a true story, before I came back to God, stop telling me what people aren't doing, show me the fruit of what God is doing in your life. Then let's talk. Share that here. We love feedback here, man. Like, God, yeah, come and see, get some feedback. But like I've always said, if the fruit is not evident in your life, maybe it's not time to come and give me that feedback. But if the fruit is evident in your life, you bet your bottom dollar, I will take you out for a coffee and I want to learn. That's why I love the generations that have gone by. You know, I think of Hayden's grandparents. I still remember that moment when you prayed for Hayden, what you imparted in your generation. You know, I look at Henry and Susan Owino, that generation, we are here because of the faithfulness of their generation that were plowing the ground, sowing the seeds so that our generation could reap what was sowed in theirs. Yeah, so when you see fruit like that, 100%, we got to go for a coffee. But when it's not evident in our lives, maybe we need to allow God to show it to us first, to impart, so we too can impart. And so here we see that, you know, the sons of Sceva rocked up and they imitated. You know who else is good at imitating? The devil. The devil can't create, he can only imitate. Notice that we're the only ones. He wanted to be God, and yet in Genesis 1:26, God created us in his image. So what he's not, God created us to be in his image. We're not created to be God. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But we're created in the image of God and given the authority of God. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. So I'm giving it, I'm imparting it. But these guys hadn't received that revelation. They only imitated what Jesus, only Jesus can delegate through his Holy Spirit. And so they left naked and wounded. When we imitate a formula, it becomes like a wax apple, glossy and beautiful on the outside and hollow and empty on the inside. This is why so many leave church. This is why I left church. I focused my early youth and into my young adults. I know I look like I'm 21, but I've been around a little bit longer than that. Because I focused so much on religion and telling people about religion, I never had an encounter with God. Some people are seeking experiences, but an experience is different from an encounter with God. The sons of Sceva experienced seeing what the demons would do when they called on Jesus' name, but they hadn't had an encounter like Paul had. So Luke 10:17-20 says, then the 70 returned. So Jesus has sent out 70 to go and minister, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. God's not concerned how many people fill a church service. He's more concerned that we go out there and see people's names written in the book of life. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So that's why for us as a conference, why we do it, it's not just for Pneuma Church, but we invite people from all across the body, because where two or three are gathered, Jesus is there. And then we all go out to our spheres of influence and see God move. I'm more concerned about seeing whatever church you're a part of, having prodigals come home, having people saved for the first time, not living in the ways that they've been living, repenting, than seeing this church filled like this every week. Controversial, I know, but I love you guys. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Are we seeking the things, or are we seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness? I'm going to invite the band to come up and we'll finish in 45 minutes. Jokes. I can smell the pizza, so I better hurry this point up. God choosing to move through us is such an incredible privilege. See, the reality is without him, we can't do anything. John 15:5. We need to abide in him. And so the outcome of abiding in him moves to my final point, that a legit revival and move of the Holy Spirit always leads to repentance, salvation, and glory to God. See, this experience, the people saw this and it brought them to their knees. Oh, but yeah, probably would have freaked me out too, right? Seeing grown men running out naked because an unseen demon threw a guy, stripped them and said, "I don't know who you are." And they're running. I'm like, I better know this Jesus. Levi preached on this beautifully last week. If you weren't here, I encourage you to listen to the podcast. Revival starts in us. So when this happened, when we encounter God, Jesus' name is magnified. It says that here, the fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. They didn't come and say, "Hey, when's Paul going to be at that next, you know, revival night? Or when's Paul going to be at that church down the street? I got to come and sit in the glory of Paul." No, they're like, "Hey, what Paul is preaching is legit. This Jesus is real. I need to know Jesus." It's like when it comes to prayer, right? Like the disciples saw Jesus literally raise people from the dead, cast out demons, and they didn't ask him for the formula or the market share of doing it. Maybe Zebedee's mum, like Zebedee's wife did for James and John, but that's separate. But what they did is, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." Because they saw that the overflow, whilst great as it was and it appeared, it's the encounter. I just need to know more of God. If what we preach across our locations, if what we preach here today impresses you more on me than God, I've stuffed up. Simple as that. Simple as that. We've missed the mark. And that's what I love about the leadership that we have, and even from some of the churches that we got represented, the leadership that are there, that it's more about Jesus than how good we are. I hope this is caught today. Because Paul was not the outcome, it was just the vessel who led to the giver of life. Counterfeit revival increases followers and popularity, but a legit revival spreads the gospel and leads people to the feet of Jesus. It causes the Holy Spirit to convict, not condemn, but convict. And I feel this on a little tangent as we wrap up. Notice that in John 8, when the woman is caught in adultery, Jesus didn't condemn the religious or the woman, but he convicted both. To the religious, he convicted, "Hey, he who doesn't have sin, get the stone and throw it. Go all baseball on that." But to the woman, "Do they not condemn you? Where are your accusers?" "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." There's a difference in condemnation and conviction. See, for the people, they were convicted, and they came and they destroyed the things that had manipulated them all their lives. The magic books and all these things that they did, and it tells us that it was worth 50,000 silver coins. How about you? Even in this day and age, if I had 50,000 5-cent pieces, they'd be pretty annoying, but it'd be still worth a little bit, right? Maybe not with the interest rates going up. That would all just go for my monthly payment. But anyway, jokes aside, it's still very raw for me, that one. And then it says, my favorite verse in all of this is verse 20, that the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Revival is not contained in a series, in a conference, in an event. So whether you're there this week, and I know if you were there, you're going to be blessed. For those others, unfortunately, it is sold out if you want to come. But I also know, when you get into the word of God, you too will be blessed. Because this is where he is. See, the revival conference is a great means. See, in fact, every service now is known as a revival service, right? We used to have the Sunday nights and the Thursday nights, and who knows what's going to happen after, next week. And, you know, some of us are like, oh, cringing a bit because it means extra nights. But every service is a revival service. When Pastor Corey came and shared here on our anniversary, Melbourne City location doesn't have more of God than what we have here or what we have in Bangkok or what we have in the US. It's just more of him to impart everywhere. How cool is that? See, the means but not the end. The Holy Spirit flows and moves so that he calls to repentance, which then leads to the preaching of the word, which then leads to signs and wonders, and then it leads to transformation of our families. Well, starting with us, our own transformation, our family, our neighbors, our street, our community, Lavin and Community Hub, this side of the train tracks, that side of the train tracks, the western suburbs of Melbourne, the city of Melbourne, the state of Victoria, the nation of Australia, the nations of the world. And if there are life on other planets, I'm sure there too. Okay, that's a horrible joke. I've got to open up a horrible can of worms there. Someone invite us to be upstanding. And we're just going to have a moment of time in worship. And I'm not going to do an altar call. I'm not going to do any of that stuff today. But I'm going to invite you, wherever you are, to take a posture of asking the Holy Spirit to search your heart and to honestly ask between yourself and the Holy Spirit, Lord, am I a place that the rivers of Holy Spirit flow over, or have I become a swamp? I believe that for some of us, the Holy Spirit is going to convict, whether it be a person or people that have hurt us, whether it's been expectations not met, or whatever it may be. As the Holy Spirit highlights, I'm going to invite everyone to just bow their head and to close their eyes. I want you to picture this with me. I literally see the hand of God saying, give it to me, son. Give it to me, daughter. I may not have caused that to happen, but I'm the one that can take that away and replace the pain with joy.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.